Thank you, guys. Good morning.
Let's pray.
Father, you love us so much. And you love us in so many different ways. God, I just want to acknowledge that your love is constant. The depth of it I do not comprehend, but I accept it. Your plan, your purpose, it is good. And Lord, I pray that one of the things I'd ask that you help us to do today is this. We're very finite creatures, and yet we serve an eternal God. And I pray, God, that you would help us to understand a little bit better today you, who you are, how you're working, that we really can place our trust in you. Thank you. Thank you for not giving up on us. In Jesus' name. Amen. We concluded a series of messages over the Christmas season entitled, What If? And one of the weeks we looked at the prophets, and one of the weeks we looked at the angels and the shepherds and the magi, and we talked about different things about what if. What if we had hope? How would it change us going into the new year? What if we took God's message when we looked at the shepherds? What if we took that message on mission? We looked at last week, Brother Rick talked to us about putting God first in our lives and offering our first and our best to Him, but not just for that day, but what if we did that on a daily basis going into the new year and just made it part of who we are? And we've been looking at that. We've been talking about through the daily study guide. Well, this week, concluding with a what if. And I don't really have a better addition to the what if other than this. What if today you really began to live a life that says, my life's going to be different because not only do I trust God for my salvation, but I trust God for every day of my life. And as it unfolds, I understand He has a part in it because it's His purpose and His plan. And this is what I'm telling you, Diff, is what if you went into tomorrow with a different outlook? Not a New Year's resolution. I don't believe in those. I don't. If I want to start something new on January the 3rd and I think it's of God, then I better get started. Okay? If I think I better stop something on January the 3rd and it's of God, I better stop it. So, I'm encouraging you. I'm challenging you. In fact, for those who received a handout today, you'll notice something a little different. There are no fill-in-the-blanks. Okay? You have the answers. As a matter of fact, probably one of the things I'll go ahead and give you a little heads up on is all six of those, when they come up, we're basically going to just kind of read them together. Because the message is really in the Scripture. It's found in Matthew chapter 6 today. We're looking at verses 19 through 33 and then concluding with Matthew 7. This is part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Very long for Jesus, a very long dissertation that was recorded in Scripture. Most of the time, we read, Jesus didn't say a whole lot that we record in Scripture other than the Sermon on the Mount. So He goes through this sermon as He's gathered people around Him, tell them about different things about how to be a follower of His, about how what it's like to be a disciple of Christ. Covers a lot of things like fasting and forgiveness. And then He comes to this, and He says, don't store up treasure here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Wherever your treasure is, that's where you will put your desire. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your Heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Can all of your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your Heavenly Father, well, see, He already knows that you have all these needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. John, you're going to put the last one up? And then at the end of the sermon, I think this is very important. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at His teaching. Why? Because He taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of the religious law. Before John goes to the points, you need to understand something right there. The rabbis and the teachers of the law, they would basically pull up on from the past and say, see what Isaiah said, see what Jeremiah said, see what these guys from the past said. But when Jesus spoke, they knew that there was something about Him that was different than what those guys, how they were saying it. That there was something that He could deliver the goods. And so this morning, as we begin to look at what if your life made an impact on others' lives, what if you embraced what God is doing in your life, what if you lived with a focus that looked to Him? Because Jesus didn't say that you don't ever have to do anything about these things, about food and drink and clothes and place to live. He just said, in essence, don't be consumed with them. Now, I want to ask you a question real quick. Isn't it amazing He had to tell the people 2,000 years ago the same thing that applies to today? So when you say God's Word is antiquated, out of date, doesn't know what it's talking about, I think we're full of something, because right there says it's still real, it's still relevant, and it's still truth today. And it impacts our lives today. So as you look at yourself this morning, as we look at ourselves, as we end with New Year's Eve today, and we get ready to whatever God has next, we understand that this is a now that will impact into the future. So let's look at point number one, John. Like I said, you can add your own personal notes, okay? What if our actions aligned with what we say we believe? And here's one little aspect of this that I want to encourage you about. Think about something for just a second. When we get ready to worry about these things that we worry about, so in essence, what we're saying is, God, I'll trust You with eternity, but I can't trust You with everyday life. God, You've got me through eternity, but I'm really not sure that You know about what's going on in my life. God, do You really know how much money's in my account? God, do You really know how my family is and my coworkers are? God, do You really know the struggles I have in life? Instead of saying, wait a second, if I trust Him with eternity, can I trust Him with today? And then we get into this cycle of worry, try to fix it, try to come up with our own ideas, try to manipulate God. So what if your actions, what if my actions align with what we say we believe, that we really can trust Him, that He really will give us strength, that He really will help us when we're weary and we're tired and we're burdened and we're confused and we're dazed, that He's really going to come through? What if you did that on a daily basis instead of every once in a while getting around to doing it? Instead of saying, if I could only trust Him more, and starting with, I will trust Him no matter what. Number two, John. What if we became teachable with God being the teacher? Again, this should speak to all of, if we all took time to share about every point, there should be like 50 different ways this is speaking to us. So I'm just trying to point out a few of the highlights for you, okay? What if you became teachable with God being the teacher? What if you allowed God to impart to you some things that maybe He desires to give you? How about understanding what your spiritual gifts are and how to use them? What about God giving you more spiritual gifts? What about if God shows you that He really will come through no matter what the circumstances look like into the future? Being teachable, I promise you today, I guarantee it, having a teachable spirit is something that our culture struggles with. Okay? It struggles big time with that. Because I think one of the biggest lies we believe is this. If I don't know something, I'll just go online and find out. Okay? We'll just go online and fight. In fact, I promise you, as believers today, many of us have replaced talking to God about things with reading Wikipedia or any version. Because there's a God version of Wikipedia, by the way. Are you teachable? Are you allowing God to teach you about things, to show you things about yourself? and where He desires to grow you and what He's trying to do in your life. Because one of the things I would encourage you to think about today is this. You know, and I know, because I tell you this every single time I preach to you, just about this. Choices are unlimited, amen? In life, period, right? We have the world at our fingertips, literally, if you have an electronic device of any kind at this very moment, right? So we struggle not with multitasking, we struggle with multifocus. We can multitask, but it is not possible to multifocus. And so as soon as we take our eyes off Him, because what did it say in that scripture I just read to you? What your eyes see, therefore, becomes inside of you. And if you're full of darkness, what does darkness look like in our world today? How about all the anger? How about all the bitterness? How about all the just the ungodly talk that's out there? You don't have to go very far. Some of you may even say, yeah, my own house, but that's not what I'm talking about right now. You don't have to go very far to hear ungodly talk. You don't really have to go very far to hear, see, watch, experience ungodly attitudes. So what is God trying to teach you today? Teach you. What if repentance was a lifestyle and not an event? Last Sunday night for Christmas Eve service, we had communion. And one of the things we did was let a person examine themselves. Basically, where's the sin in your life? Where is it that you've been displeasing to God in some way? I would challenge you on something. If you're getting around to just whenever we have communion or whenever you feel like it to allow God to examine yourself, I can promise you this much from my own life, if the stack is growing of things that you need to repent of, that you need to be examined of, because we struggle with day-to-day lives that simply may not see the fruit of things that we have not repented of, but it will build up and we will become calloused. We will become hardened. We'll become, on the inside, our hearts will not be soft and tender to the voice of God. But I want you to think about this for a second with repentance. I know repentance is coming in agreement with God, turning from sin, turning on. That's true. But I want you to think about something for just a second. If I'm more worried about how much money I have, the food I'm going to eat, the clothes I'm going to wear, even some things I can't control in my life, relationships at home, if I'm so worried, then repentance is something to worry about. But what's the root of that worry? Why are you so fearful of things you can't control? Is there a scarcity mentality? Or have you allowed God's perfect love to so come into your life that that perfect love drives out fear? Because worry and fear, as far as I'm concerned, they're mates. They're mates. And when they come together, they do a great job on us. Because I guarantee you something, for those that kind of keep up with some events in the world, sometimes it's just a struggle to go, Lord, what's going to happen to our world today? What's going to happen? So if we struggle with future events, not just personal, but world things, God's not asking us to take over something that He's got under control. So this repentance being a lifestyle event, I'd encourage you today to take some inventory of your life and say, God, where do I really need to repent? And then how can I do this on a regular basis so I can be as close and as intimate as you as possible. Because Jesus wants to love on you. God wants to love on you. In some ways, He wants to love on you that maybe you haven't even thought about. So what if repentance was a lifestyle and not an event? Allow God to come and touch those tender areas. You know, one of the hardest things about lifestyle or repentance as a lifestyle, it isn't always embracing the fact that we need to repent of some sins that maybe we kind of thought were okay. I think sometimes it's just simply slowing down and saying, I got to hear that still small voice. Okay? Because you know one of the reasons why I believe that God spoke to Elijah with a still small voice during the Old Testament, Elijah wanted to hear from God and he went in a cave and there was an earthquake and Hurricane Irma came by and he had just all kinds of crazy events. Hurricane Irma didn't really come by. I just made that up. Okay? He had a lot of tough things, but he had to go out to the entrance of the cave and I believe he had to kind of do this. He had to change his posture to hear the still small voice. Let me ask you a question. I love you, my brother. I don't have to yell at anybody I'm close to. Do you understand how close he wants to be to you? Do you understand what that means? I do really love you too, my brother. Point number four. What if we first and foremost worship God? What if to the point where like Brother Rick talked to us last week about giving our first and our best to God, you don't have to think about it. It's just part of your lifestyle. I got some horrible news for some of you. Terrible news. You won't get to live like that sermon unless you do make changes. That's the truth. But the awesome news on the other side is you get to experience the fullness of God and see the power of God and see the miracles of God and feel the presence of God and see what He can do through you. Instead of seeing it as bad news, seeing it as God's opportunity to deliver on who He says He really is. So when we first and foremost worship God, yes, yes, when it says in the verse 33 of 6, above all else, seek Him, His kingdom, and live righteously, yes, it does take a lifestyle change. Yes, you may not watch the TV shows, the movies, listen to the music you listen to. Yes, you may change your speech. Yes, you may have to have a conversation with people you really don't care to talk to. Yes, you may have to love people that you really don't want to love. Yes, you may have to quit doing things that you found enjoyable. Yes, it does look different than it looks right now. Yes. But you know what? You shouldn't dread that. You should be excited because on the other side is all the fullness of God being realized in your life. Unchangeable. Unchangeable. Do you believe He's the same God today that will take care of you into eternity? Number 5, John. What if we desire to see His kingdom come more than we desire to build our own kingdom? I don't know what building your own kingdom looks like in your life. I know what it looks like a lot of times in my life because I guarantee you something today. I can talk myself into anything I really want. Anything. I said this before, I'm just going to say it again. Honest to goodness, I think Amazon Prime is of the devil. Okay? 2-day shipping. I never knew I could get so excited to have something in 2 days. You can ask Kathy, I'm telling you a true story. I told her about two or 3 weeks ago, we were talking about finances. I said, I think one of the things we first need to do is we need to detach ourselves from that Amazon Prime thing. I'm just being honest. What did I just say, point 4? It has to be different? Okay. And that's practical. These are practical things. Yes, you could say it starts with your heart and works itself out. That's true. But it also starts with the practical about what are you looking at? What are you listening to? Who are you hanging out with? If we desire to see His kingdom come more than we desire to build our own kingdom, what if? Let me tell you some things today about some things you need to consider before we go to point 6 is this. Your personal investment in those around you, whether they be family, friends, co-workers, or this church body, how are you personally investing in somebody? Heard it yesterday, and you know it to be true too. When you meet somebody, are they a little better or a little worse for being around you? Now, sometimes they may be aggravated with you if you're speaking truth, leading in love. Yeah, Jesus had some confrontations with people that when He spoke truth and love, they didn't want to accept it, but that's different. He didn't aggravate or irritate just to do it. Okay? By the way, irritating other people is not a spiritual gift. Okay? All right, I just want you to know that, especially if you're going down to Abercorn, all right, or if you're wherever, okay? But I want you to think about something for a second. Let's make it practical. If you desire to see His kingdom come more than we desire to build our own kingdom, then you would look at the people closest to you and say, how am I investing in them? How am I making their life a little more pleasant towards God? How am I impacting their life for their kingdom? Something that I think God spoke to me the other day was, believe it or not, for church summer camp, which is June 3rd through the 7th, for all of you who text me that, ask me that question all the time, June 3rd through the 7th, I was thinking about summer camp because I start thinking about it in January, and this is what I think God spoke to me. I really wasn't distracted by summer camp. I think He was just trying to give me one of those gentle nudges. Hey, Dane, I got some awesome things if you want to join me in working before you ever get to summer camp. And you know one of the things that told me that I felt like God was reminding me of is this. Quit looking to a future point in time, but embrace the now and see where He's doing something right now in front of me. How do I need to join Him? Where is it? Where is He pricking somebody's heart that I need to intersect their life? Where do I need to intersect their life? Do you really desire to participate in building God's kingdom? Or are you really desirous of, God, could you add a little bit more to my kingdom today? How are these things going to be worked out starting today in your own life? How do you impact those close to you? Can I add another thing that you need to pay more attention to? Possibly. Okay? Is this. You may say, well, I'm one person. What difference can I make? Well, do we need to start in Genesis and say all the one people that had an impact? you can have an impact. You can have an impact on our city. How about your neighbors? How about your neighborhood? How about those that you just pass by every single day? Can I tell you something that happens in Savannah, Georgia on some regularity that I pray about, and I know that some of you pray about, is this. I don't know if you know this, and because there are younger ears here, I'm not going to intentionally talk in code, but try to follow me. Our ports bring in young people to our country that are not here for godly purposes. It's part of a trade that goes on that's very, very, very evil. Atlanta is the major hub in America for this trade, especially for young ladies. Okay, if you're not with me, find somebody that knows what I'm saying right now, okay? My point being is this. Our prayers do matter, and I pray all the time that God would reveal the people that are responsible. All the time. God, crush them. Crush that evil. And it's hard. I'm gonna, you know, it's hard sometimes to think of this. The people that are responsible, that Jesus died for them too. It's hard. It's hard. I was talking to somebody one time that they were a missionary and they go to a foreign country and they go over there to deal with young ladies that are in that trafficking thing. And I said, I know it wouldn't do me any good because as soon as I ran into some guy that was responsible for it, I don't know. I don't know how I'd react, to be honest with you. May not be good. I know what I'm supposed to tell you. Lead with love and forgiveness and all that. But it would take a miracle of God to restrain me physically. And I think some of you feel the same way. So what I want to do is turn my passion in prayer. And when God calls me into action, bam, I want to answer the call. You can do that. That is building God's kingdom. Being in the battle. That's in the God's kingdom. Being in it. And point number six, John. What if we looked only to Him, listened for Him, and waited on Him? You know what happens a lot of times in the wait? From God's perspective? A little passage in Isaiah says something about lifting you up on, giving you the strength of eagles, helping you when you get weary, walking with you when you're tired. Do you know that's in the wait? That's in the wait. He does give you strength. He really will give you the strength to run. He will give you wings of eagles to lift you up. And He really will walk with you. But you remember that still small voice? We have to be intentionally listening for His voice. And in our culture, there's a lot of noise. We have to distinguish between what's essential and what's not essential. For me, it boils down to one thing and one thing only. It is so simple. It is so simple. And I'm looking at it. You. You. I don't have to ask myself, where am I going to spend my money? Where am I going to spend my time? Where am I going to spend my energy? Sometimes it's a struggle to do what I want to do in the fact that impact other people. But when we're looking for Him, we're listening for Him, we're waiting on Him, I notice my eyes look at things differently. I know my ears hear things differently. I know my heart feels differently. But most of all, I get to experience the fullness of God. So what if in 2018 you experienced the fullness of God? What could happen? What would it look like? What would you feel like? What would this body of Christ, how would it impact this neighborhood? How would it destroy the barriers that are in this neighborhood? How would it kill the plans of evil that's in there? How would we impact Nigeria and Haiti and places that we send people? How would it impact Washington, D.C. when we're completely without a shame in love with God Almighty? But you know what we can't do? I heard just about Abraham Lincoln this week. Abraham Lincoln said most of us are like the guy who's told to chop down a tree and someone hands him an axe. And he says, you got 6 hours to chop down this tree, Mr. Lincoln. And Mr. Lincoln says, okay, I'll take 4 hours to sharpen the axe. We can't delay. Can't delay. We have a call. It's a real call. And just like Amy Smart's mom, who passed away at 62, we all are going to go the same way. Hebrews chapter 11 makes it very plain. One life, then death, then judgment. 1-1-1. It makes the ground level. So I would encourage you today to take inventory, to take stock. And John, will you put up the last verse one more time, chapter 7, verse 28, 29, please? When he had finished saying these things, The crowds were amazed, for he taught with real authority. We're not talking about somebody who can't get the job done. We're talking about someone who did the job. And so therefore, he has the authority. So he has the authority to deliver you from that which keeps you from being a close, personal friend of Jesus the Christ. He has that. He has the authority and the power to deliver you. So today, we're not going to do a ministry time. John, we put the six back up. Gary's not going to come up here and play. I don't want you back here and close your eyes. I want you to look at those six. You can look on your piece of paper. Which one, I'm not asking for you to say this out loud, we'll be here all day. Which one is God really speaking to you about right now? Which one really jumps off that page? Now, here's my final thought for you before we pray. Okay? It hurts me because it's true about me. Okay? Because I'm just like you. All flesh, with the Holy Spirit indwelling me, but that rub gets tough some days. Kathy would probably tell you, yeah, I'm not really sure which one's leading him some days, the flesh or the Spirit. You ready? I believe most of us are waiting for God to show up. You know what He's waiting on? For us to grow up. No excuses. It's nobody else's fault. Which one of those six God really speaking to you about today? I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll be done. You can bring your cards and your envelopes, baskets back there by Rick too this morning. Right here. Still small voice whispering to you. Takes a lot of care and concern to get close to someone to tell them, I love you. Is your posture listening this morning? Let's pray. Others, you and I just spend a few minutes chatting a little bit here. You're an amazing God. And as Roberta Buck used to tell me often, you're a gentleman. And I praise you and thank you for your patience and your love. You know, Father, I thank you for waiting on me. I thank you for listening to me. I thank you that you're not too busy. I thank you that you're not worried about the clothes or the food, the housing. You're not worried about the stuff. I am your concern. My heart, my call, my purpose. And I thank you for that today. God, I am crying out to you today that we won't be the same as individuals, so we won't be the same as a collective body. God, I thank you for the beautiful sunrise this morning. But God, the fact is darkness is battling to crush the light every day. But God, that's not the truth of the reality of who we are. We're the salt and the light. We're a city on a hill. We're a lamp on a stand. God, I pray you give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart that just longs for you. God, you're ministering to our hearts and our minds and our spirits right now, and I thank you for that. Continue to do that, Father. Seal the things of you in our hearts, and may those seeds find fertile soil to grow and to just produce a harvest, a great righteous harvest. We serve a mighty God who is personally involved in our lives. And you know, God, you're probably speaking to us about some changes, and that battle will potentially raise, so I pray that we'll surrender and become teachable, that we'll wait and listen, and in the wait, we'll allow you to love on us and we'll love on you back. And God, the people in our lives that at times it just seems so difficult to even like, much less love, that we would be mindful that there are days we're not very likable either, but you still love on us. Thank you. Praise you. Glory and honor to you. Now as we leave this building, may the church go be the church. In Jesus' name, amen.